Welcome to Ask an Innovator, where we interview senior executives about innovation. You can find us at askaninnovator.com or subscribe with your favorite podcast app. I'm your host, Josh Barker, CEO of City Innovation Labs. Welcome to Ask an Innovator. I've got with me Jill Rademacher. She's a head of e-commerce and marketing from North Shore Care Supply. So we're going to talk about innovation in the e-commerce space.
Yes, we are.
What is innovation to you,
what
Jill?
What is innovation to me? About 10 years ago, I was working for a large public company that is in technology. We were part of a startup that was acquired. So we were like this new R&D arm under the commerce umbrella, but this was 07, 08. So it was still kind of like, what do we do with this?
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, we reported to this VP, big ego, tells us, just innovate. We're like, cool, awesome. You know, we're a scrappy group of 20 and all just geeking out. And we got to like take our platform and like move it to the mothership and then like do something new, which, oh my God, that's what we do. So we spent all this time. And I can't even take credit for most of it. Like the geeks behind the curtain, they thought of the algorithm. We developed UX. We had this whole new reputation engine, social shopping platform that we'd concepted out, right? And we present it to him, and all he could say was, that's not innovation. And I got to the point where I got so frustrated. I'm pounding on the table talking to this guy. I mean, I just lost my brain, because tell me what that means.
Yeah.
And I realized really quickly that innovation had become this buzzword.
Yeah.
And so, again, preparing for this, I was like, okay, so what is innovation?
You
so
brushed up on your buzzwords.
I Googled it, you know? And, you know, the definition wasn't surprising, you know, new methodology, new products to do new things and make new processes, whatever.
You were thinking, oh man, there's a right answer here. I better.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I clicked a little further and there was this graph of a trend line of the usage of the word over time. Over like 40 years, right?
Yeah.
And it was squiggling along, and then it like 2010 hit and it was like, whew.
This huge.
Huge. Just the slope up was crazy. So my gut is right. This has become a buzzword.
Yes. Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that it's not a real thing, right?
Right.
There's value to it. My world. And who is innovating in my world? E-commerce, right?
Yeah.
And everybody says Amazon. And Amazon absolutely innovated in the way that they changed the way we shop, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're, 40% of product-related searches start at Amazon.
It's crazy.
They were the first to try to do image-related search, right? And now I'd say they're still innovating, but they're more of a disruptor because they've got the resources, they've got the client, the customer base. They don't have as much of a focus on profitability. You know, I mean,
right.
They've just got the latitude to do it. So now they're disrupting. I mean, whatever category they want to focus on, they're going to disrupt.
Yeah. Going to space. Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking smaller than that, but shoot, you just knocked it out of the park. Yes. Going to space. Owning, you know, a newspaper. I mean, that's Bezos, but I mean,
right.
You know, and whether it be shipping logistics, they're disrupting that. And they've disrupted retail.
Yeah.
Their private label products are disrupting whole categories. You know, and they do it quietly. You know, it doesn't say Amazon brand dog food. It's Joe Schmo's favorite dog food. You know, they don't brand it Amazon, so
right.
It's quiet. But yeah, it really got me thinking about just my little part of the world here. And yeah, I mean, there's a change or die mentality here, and it's very real. I mean, you look at how brick and mortar has had to shift, and a lot of them have
completely shifted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either shifted or died, right?
Yeah, that's right. I was just talking to a construction company the other day, and they were saying they do commercial construction.
Okay.
What's interesting is you don't think about Amazon disrupting commercial, like that. And you don't think about even Tesla disrupting that. But he was saying Tesla and Amazon have come in and dominated in a way that there's no longer these showrooms. Tesla, there you buy online.
Yep.
And you go in. And so the requests he's getting are far less these 100,000 square feet, huge lots, huge car places. And like, hey, I just want 3,000 square feet, maybe fit 3 cars in here, and we can just drive those.
Yeah.
And
You go online, everywhere. Pick your features, yeah. And you see how the price goes up as you pick your features. But yeah, you're right.
The things you don't think about. Yeah. I mean, all these companies, Amazon, huge mm-hmm. disruptors in almost every industry now.
Yes.
Cross industry.
Yep.
So, and then in your part of the world, that's kind of where they got their start, right? Like the whole shopping e-commerce.
Right.
I mean, and they're still dominating, right. Crushing in that area.
But selling books.
Yes. Right? That's right.
The beginning of the end of Barnes & Noble and Borders.
That's right.
Almost end. That's where it started.
How has that been disrupting North Supply and really what like what you're doing there?
Yeah, I think with North Shore, it's...
North Shore, sorry.
North Shore, it's fine. Yeah. I think Amazon, I wouldn't say it's disrupted North Shore. It's helped North Shore grow. You sell on Amazon to be where consumers are. Consumers are on Amazon.
They're their channel.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're a channel, and they're a channel that North Shore, you know, has leveraged very well to grow its customer base.
Can you explain North Shore a little
right.
bit?
Right. Yeah. So North Shore, it's a owner-operated company, been in business since 2002, selling incontinence supplies direct to consumer. So adult diapers. I mean, yeah. So I sell a lot of adult diapers. I joined the company in December of 2017, and I was not in the category before, so you know, I'm
all new.
Yeah, I'm learning about incontinence.
Yeah, right.
And I go home and like, wow, I just learned a lot today about things I didn't think I'd ever want to know. One thing that really drew me to the company is it's very mission driven. This company is changing lives. People who are managing incontinence, or maybe not even managing it very well, really, there's just a lot of emotional baggage around that. There's the shame of it. There's societal shame. Like, people either laugh when they talk about pee and poop, or they get uncomfortable and think you're being rude, right? Like, you don't talk about it. Even doctors, we've found, don't want to talk about it, which is weird, right? You're supposed to be able to talk to your doctor about it, but they get uncomfortable, I think mostly because they worry you're going to be uncomfortable, but
then it makes everyone
needs to get over it. Yeah. So yeah, that's what we sell. Started out selling other brands. So just a retailer, online retailer. And then I think, you know, the owner of the company, he's got great vision and he saw it right away. The survive or die mentality that I was talking about before. He recognized that the products were being commoditized and the quality was declining fast. Products that people trusted and lived by. And like, I mean, think about it. If this is a product that's making it possible for you to live your life and feel confident and free to live your life.
Right.
You are loyal to that brand.
Yes.
And what was happening is a lot of products are, you know, just declining in quality. And our niche, actually, I should say this, our part of the category is really people who are not, it's not the lower absorbency products. These are higher absorbency products. So we're talking people who have a real need that's, it's a real struggle for them.
Yeah.
We have developed our own products over the last several years, and we're shifting from this retailer to a brand. So we're a direct consumer brand selling our brand of products. And Adam, he's a product expert. He knows the industry. He understands people's struggles. He's very tightly knit with the customer service. He reads our tickets still. It was a very appealing transition for me. And it's an e-commerce company, so and he wants to grow. So like, great. I'm all about growth. That's where I want to be. So we're applying technology in smart ways to help us grow.
Yeah.
Not applying technology for the sake of technology or applying innovation for the sake of innovation to say we innovated. What's great about e-commerce and marketing in the last couple of years is that focus on data has helped. These companies are sprouting up that are helping you kind of aggregate your disparate sources of data.
Right.
Right. And do something with it, whether that be on your website or outbound marketing efforts.
We have tons of data, not enough information.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, whether that be personalization on your site or just getting a better view of the individual, the customer, so that you can better serve them and you can put a product in front of them that makes sense for them, help them find products. I think, you know, one of the challenges for e-commerce, especially for a product that's not just a t-shirt, right? Something that's not easy to sell online, because these products that we sell, fit is so important. The right product, the right absorbency is really important. So our challenge online is to, if someone doesn't want to make that phone call, which a lot of people don't because they don't want to talk about it.
Right.
How do we make it as easy as possible for you to find the right product for you? And get it to you, you know, there's the basics, get it to them on time and effectively and all that stuff and discreetly. But how do we make that possible without requiring the conversation.
Right.
We balance our focus on encouraging the conversation because it is so helpful.
Yeah.
But also, if you want to stay more passive in your experience.
Anonymous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is funny. We're just talking about data and knowing the customer. So no one's really anonymous anymore.
Right. As anonymous as they want to be.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting. I mean, not very many categories have these unique challenges of the fear of embarrassment or the fear of. Yeah, that's really at its core, I'd imagine. Embarrassment of if you ship a carton, you're not going to want to slap what it is on the package, I'd imagine. And similarly, like you said, they'd probably be more hesitant to jump on a phone call or talk about it. Mm-hmm. So how do you fix the conversation thing? Is that just educate as best you can and let the chips fall where they may? Or are there some other things that you guys have employed to do that?
Yeah, customer service at this company is much more sophisticated and applies a much more regimented training schedule
to
their reps. I mean, these aren't salespeople, right? This, the focus of this company is not to sell.
Yeah.
It's a consultative service approach. Just education about the products at step one is so vital because you don't want to put someone in the wrong product and have them have a terrible experience. Then they give us a bad review. We have a return. So really, from an educational perspective, really knowing the products. Also understanding the conditions that drive the need. Then there's the personal part of it. We have these core values in our company that we actually hire people against. And empathy is on that list. It has to be.
Yeah.
If someone even shows signs of not being sympathetic to somebody or being rude at all, I mean, they're gone. Like, it's just, it's no question, right? I mean, we cannot allow any of that. From the person who leads up marketing to the person who's answering the phone, everybody has to
have empathy.
Have that. Yeah. So
it's interesting. I mean, I think that that's actually a really, I mean, we actually have a core value of empathy too at our company. And one of the things I could definitely that resonated with me is when the CEO of Microsoft, the new one, was asked, what has changed Microsoft? That's what he said. It's empathy.
Yep.
And so I think that's really key because you're hitting on not only is your team empathetic with each other, you're empathetic with the customers.
Right.
And that's key. And then empathy not only means, you know, having that kind of that merciful and that very sensitive approach, but it also means like putting yourself in the shoes of that other person.
Right.
So I'd imagine that really helps when you guys are talking about what else can we do.
Exactly. Yep. It informs on product. I mean, our customers are our best source of product development, to be honest. It informs on the language we use on our website, in our marketing, how we sell.
Yeah.
Right. So empathy from a innovation and product development perspective is so vital because you're ultimately what you're innovating for is to fill a need for another person or yourself. If you're lucky, that's easier,
right?
But empathy is a key part of that.
Yeah. When you first joined, were there, I'd have to imagine if I came into that organization, I would have hit some landmines of like, oh, I
can't
didn't
that.
Know that.
Yeah,
exactly. And I mean, you've probably run into those too.
Yeah, I had my
unique
own discomfort.
Yes.
You know, I was spending hours with someone who has already cleared those discomforts and was just talking freely, right? Educating me about all of the things people deal with.
Yes.
And I'd go home and go, whew, talked a lot about, you know, okay, you know. And now I don't even think about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. And I'm a little embarrassed to think about how I kind
thought
of snickered
before
because I was just reinforcing that, you know, that stigma.
Yes.
And now I see how much health stigma there is, you know, it's not isolated to one age group or any one demographic, really. There are health conditions that really affect people more than just the physical effects, the embarrassment, the shame, the stigma that goes with it, whether it's perceived or actual, is very real. We're using hashtag and health stigma everywhere, right?
Right.
And you see it. You see it in other people addressing other issues too.
Right.
So yeah, I've definitely become a lot more comfortable.
Yeah. Yes.
A lot more sensitive myself.
And I'd imagine from a demographic standpoint, there's probably some coupling within a certain demographic, right. Older demographic, I would theorize. Right. Is that accurate?
Right. Yeah.
And so that's probably also got some unique challenges. We were just discussing before we started the podcast, some of the unique challenges that presents.
Right. And you've got baby boomers who I actually don't see as the older demographic. They're older than me.
Yes.
Still. People who are 50 plus. And then you've got 70 plus, which I actually see differently than that 50 to 65, 50 to 70 group.
Sure.
Because as we were talking about earlier, they're getting more digitally savvy.
Yes.
And selling to them is actually still different than selling to even older. And we've got the unique opportunity because in that, let's say, boomer group, they're kind of sandwiched. They could be a user of our product. They could be a caregiver to someone who they're, you know, a spouse, a partner, a parent.
Yeah.
Right? Or a child.
Right.
I mean, the sweet spot, you know, we think about like women age 50 is really like
yes.
our target, right? Because you really could hit so many different people, serving so many needs of different people just by talking to that person. Especially when we talk about, you know, like the topic of incontinence, men just typically tend to be less comfortable finding a solution for themselves. They'll just deal with it. That goes for many women too, but more often you're going to see a woman calling on behalf of a man, right?
Sure.
Or, you know, you look at the website metrics and you see the visitors are majority women. It's still, you know, still pretty evenly split, but more women than men, but they're shopping in the men's category.
Interesting. Yeah. You know? That makes sense.
Yeah. And advertising, like, you know, you said, marketing to these folks, it is different. It's counter to everything every bias I have as a digital marketer about best practices. You know, we have this internal battle about our emails for email marketing. I'm all for, you know, more white space, cleaner, less text, more images, or just cleaner design. And we get pushed in the direction of more text, bigger text. And even though I think we've gotten bigger, our CEO pushed it back. Say, no, I can't, you know, that's still too small. Like someone's not gonna be able to read that. I'm like, oh God, you know, but it looks weird, you know, to me, as you know, in what I'm used to.
Throwing all your stuff, you know, out the window.
My brain wants to explode. It just messes with me.
Right.
You know, we're talking about mailers, doing more of the non-digital channels, print, mailers, newspapers, still.
Interesting.
Still relevant.
And that's using like mailers and newspaper to drive traffic to a website, which is really interesting.
Right.
Huh.
And making sure you're tracking it. But there are ways to do that. You know?
Coupons or whatever.
Coupons, vanity URLs, all that. Make it easy to type.
Yes.
So using unique phone number, all that stuff. Yeah. So it's been fun, but it surprised me how the digital sales are only growing and we're not, you know, older people, quote unquote, older people are visiting the website. They're shopping the website.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, what do you see in the next 5-10 years in this category, in your industry?
In my category specifically, I'm, from a product perspective, I'm really interested to see how the products evolve. Right now, there are a lot of new players trying to break in to the category, but on the kind of lower end, lower quality, let's say this, less absorbency needs. We skew toward higher absorbency and more premium products. And what we're seeing is more of these players that are really just trying to do subscription only, kind of the Dollar Shave Club model.
Uh-huh.
They're offering just subscription. You get a case a month or whatever, and you get your trial period, but you have to enter your credit card. And then proactively cancel, or they're just gonna, you know,
keep billing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that talk about like missing the boat, and they think they're innovating, but man, that is so counterintuitive. I think that's how newspapers have struggled to retain their subscription bases digitally. People, you know, they're promoting a dollar a week, right? But you have to give me your credit card,
right?
And then cancel it. Same thing. It's with
not the what
subscription
users
models.
Want.
No,
yeah.
It's not what users want.
Yeah.
Our company, we have an auto ship program, a subscription program, but you can also buy just one time.
Right.
And we sample like crazy. We want to make sure you have the right product. So we're not going to make you pay until you've found what you want. And then it's obviously your choice if you want to set it up so that you're getting recurring shipments. So I think that that, you know, the subscription commerce obviously is growing. Subscription-based content, I think, is going to keep going away.
Yeah.
People don't want to pay for content, even premium content. I think it's a really hard trigger to pull.
Yeah. Especially with so much out there, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I've been teased by, you know, Business Insider, and now they're offering premium articles, and I want to read it, but not enough to pay, right? I'm like, right. Oh, shoot, you know?
Guess I can't read that one.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, subscription, you know, I think that's going to keep being a thing in our category. But the products themselves, because there's been a commoditization of the manufacturing, there's been a lot of consolidation, verticalization. A lot of the price competition that Amazon has brought into the market has just accelerated that. And where we are, remain differentiated is we focus on quality.
Right.
You may pay a little bit more for the product, but the value is there. You're going to use less of the product. So
right.
At the end of the day, probably even when it comes to cost, but you're able to live your life, right? And be happy.
Right.
So I think the product, I'll be interested to see what happens there. I am also very interested to see how the plastics industry shifts, how the, you know, trade issues force our industry to change. I'm sorry, but the environment, I mean, someone needs to innovate there.
Yeah.
Create a product that's absorbent, that, you know, holds in the unfortunate, the smells and all that stuff, that works, that's not made of plastic.
Right.
And you can, that will biodegrade. And I was a conservation major in college, so it kills me.
Yes.
to be working in an industry that just, it's a disposable product.
It
has to be. That would be one way I'd love to see innovation in my category. But I think what's going to happen more is the way people are buying is going to continue to shift. But we'll see.
Yeah. You
know? I think general in e-commerce, that's where we're going to see AR and VR implemented more, especially when it comes to home improvement.
Yeah.
I think more companies are going to continue going direct to consumer. I think Wayfair actually, aren't they experimenting with AR?
Yeah, and IKEA.
Right?
Yeah.
IKEA too.
Yep, so you can take your phone, show what it looks like in
your room.
Space, yeah.
I mean, come on.
It's pretty cool.
Talk about a difficult conversion.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Even Peloton. I mean, if you're familiar with bikes.
Yeah.
I just went to their website the other day. I was showing my friend the new treadmill, and it's like, oh, click here to see what it looks like in your room. And I was like,
nice.
Clicked it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was so easy.
It was easy. Oh, yeah. No app I even need to download. I was just on the website. Just tap it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Actually, in Wisconsin, I'm aware, you know, just people I know, they've built in AR into their, I think, like Capital Tours app.
Oh, and, that's cool,
you know,
yeah.
When you get like the audio tour, it's just cool, like, nice touch, right?
It
it's
is.
A better experience. And I think providing a better experience is what's going to create more demand and, you know, let us keep innovating.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for your time, Jill. Really appreciate it.
You.
It's been a great conversation.
Good. It's been fun.
Yeah, likewise.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you for listening to Ask an Innovator. Visit us on our website, www.askaninnovator.com. This podcast has been sponsored by City Innovation Labs.